Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
And I want you to make some noise for Daniel Madger as he comes to the platform.
Amen, amen, amen. How are you guys doing today? Well, it's so great to see you guys. You guys can grab a seat. Like Pastor Phillip said, my name is Daniel Madry. I was the first hire here at North Point Community Church. And what he didn't mention and what probably most of you guys don't know is I actually grew up in this church whenever it was, my mom texted me after the first service, Family Worship Center. And Pastor Tom was here, and I was here before this room was here. I grew up going to daycare in that wing, and our church met in the gym right over here. And, you know, I love that this year is the year of legacy, because I can remember whenever I was probably 4 or 5 years old, where I was in the gym, and we were kind of semicircle. Yeah, this semicircle is legacy. We've been doing that for 30 years, let me tell you. We were sitting in a semicircle in the gym, and I remember, you know, I'm crawling probably under the chairs and drawing on things and stuff like that, and I stood up, of course, not looking much over the chairs, and I told my mom, I pointed at Pastor Tom, and I said, that's what I want to do when I grow up. And so it's incredible to me that God is meeting people in this church, and destinies are being established, and freedom and breakthrough is being established, and the future is being set for so many of you guys, and I don't want you to miss it. I want you to know that God knew you would be here today. God knew that you were going to be a part of this community, and He has something for you. And so you are part of a legacy-building church that precedes, you know, even me. And those of you who might have been around that long, maybe if there's anyone. And so you're a part of something that's huge that God has been doing in this city for decades. And so I'm just honored to play a small part in this service today. I do want to say I honor Philip and Destiny D so much. I was telling them earlier, I said, it's incredible that they paid me to just get coached. You know, I did some things around here, but essentially when they hired me on, what I did not know is that I was signing up for the next few years to being coached and developed by arguably, you know, the greatest coach I know, Philip Dees, and I am so much better. I am so much more mature and so much more developed, so much more equipped for life because I sat under Philip and Destiny's leadership. And of course, also Brandon Mitchell, who happened to make the service today. Brandon was my pastor as well through 318 Live, so both of us got, all of us have gotten to pastor in this room. And so it's really cool. Those, you know, two men of God are just incredibly special and important to me. And then last, I want to honor my wife, Ellis. She's beautiful. She's incredible. And you don't know it, but she could be preaching this service probably better than me. So if it falters, they'll invite her next time. Okay, well, today I want to speak a message that I really felt God put on my heart for this season and this group. And honestly, I did not know that it was the year of legacy, but this is a legacy message. It's something that plays a small piece in the landscape of what really determines someone's legacy and its tenure. It's how can I go day after day? How can I keep going? How can I stay faithful to what God has put on my life? And so to kind of springboard this sermon, I want to go to one passage of scripture. And that's great, because I'm not going to read you this long narrative. You don't have to either try to read along on the screen or pay attention or try to grasp what's being said. You don't have to check your phone during this time. You don't have to do any of those things. All you have to do is lean into this one scripture and know that this scripture is going to play a gigantic role in your destiny. That the key that this scripture holds will unlock how far you go in life and the type of legacy you will leave for generations to come. And that verse is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And this is what it says. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So how many of you guys in here, no matter how old or how young you are, how many of you guys in here would say, my future is important to me? Just raise your hand if that's you. I want to know who I'm talking to today. Okay, half the room, that's fine. My future is important to me. Yes, my future is important to me. Well, if your future is important to you, you've got to guard it. You know what I mean? And here's the thing. You only guard things that are important to you, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know about you, but I don't guard my trash. You know what I mean? Every Monday, we have a garbage man that comes through, and the day before, I'm just getting ready to throw stuff away. I throw stuff away. My wife doesn't know I throw away because I'm so like, we need to keep it minimal around here. So I'll just load things up, and I put it in the can, and all that. And sometimes I'm dragging boxes, and I put it at the end of the curb. And I tell you what, I have not lost 1 minute of sleep wondering, I wonder if someone's taking something out of my can. You know what I mean? I've never just sat there and wondered, like, but how safe is that can? You know what I mean? I don't have little cameras around the light pole right where I stick my trash can, wondering if anyone is coming by. I've never gotten up in the middle of the night and gone down to the curb and opened the lid to make sure the trash was still in the can, because it's not that important to me. In fact, sometimes people drive by our house and they eye our trash, wondering if they want to put it in their car. Sure, yeah. I mean, we've had people, you know, we moved here less than a year ago, so, you know, you got to buy furniture and little, you know, a TV and stuff like that. People just cruise by my house and go real slow and be like, I see that TV box. And they're just wondering, did he leave the TV in it? And they'll go and they'll start looking around and they'll just load stuff up, take it with them. That's a true story. Maybe it's happened to you. Maybe you're the one driving by. Just know that if you are, I don't mind. It's fine. You can inspect my trash and take whatever it is. You know, it doesn't matter to me. But you know what does matter to me is my car. Where I park is very important. I'm not trying to park on the front row. I don't mind a little walk. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to park in a spot that's not by other people, because I don't want other people who don't drive my car to open up their car door and forever leave an indention in the side of my car because they were not considerate enough to say, hey, is my door going to dent this other person's car? You better believe that if I'm pulling up into a parking lot and your car got dents beside it, I'm not parking beside you. Because I know you probably don't care. I'll park in the back. I'll walk, you know, get my steps in. Doesn't matter to me. But you know what? Your future matters a lot. The course of your life matters a lot. Guarding your heart matters a lot. And what's unfortunate is that there are so many of us who will put more energy and effort guarding things that have no eternal value, while leaving our heart open to be destroyed by the things that we consume, the things that we think about, the things that we obsess over, and our future, our legacy is being compromised by an unguarded heart. And so what I want to do today is that I want to talk about a man in the Bible who, because of an unguarded heart, lost, forfeited the destiny that God had for his life and for the legacy that were to come after him. I want to talk about King Solomon. King Solomon is the son of King David. If you're not familiar with King David wrote basically the entire book of Psalms. If you're not familiar with the book of Psalms, take a Bible and go to the very middle of it, and you'll be in the book of Psalms. It's an easy read. Most of the chapters are short, highly emotional. High highs, low lows, good place to start if you're new or you're having a bad day and need some encouragement. King Solomon. This is what's incredible about King Solomon. He led the construction project on the Temple of God in Jerusalem. King Solomon rebuilt entire cities. In the scriptures, King Solomon is noted as the wisest man to have ever lived. Another side note is that Solomon, King Solomon, wrote or contributed to three books of the Bible that are canonized. That's Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. All of those books are not built equal. Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and therein lies the beginning of the fall that he would sustain. And so I want to draw from Solomon's life today, and I want to teach you just a super practical message that I'm going to entitle, How to Give Your Heart Away. And you know, a lot of times we come in here and we would say, how to protect your heart, how to guard your heart, how to whatever. And what I want to do is I want to open up a small case study on how you can actually give your heart away. And if you are disinterested in giving your heart away, and if you are perhaps more drawn to the idea that I want to guard my heart above all else, for you value the course of your life, then maybe you would do the opposite of what I'm going to show you today. So how to give your heart away, there's going to be three easy points. Point number one is let your emotions rule you. If you're taking notes, you're going to heaven faster. Let your emotions rule you. Maybe not quicker, but it's like you'll get to buy. It's like a fast pass. They're like, you get to heaven, they're like, did you take notes? You're like, yeah. And they're like, all right, you skip the line. You know what I mean? That's not biblical. That's not actually in the Bible. Number one, let your emotions rule you. So I'm actually going to be camping out in 1 Kings chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles and you wanted to open up somewhere, maybe for further study, 1 Kings 11, starting in verse 1. It says, now King Solomon loved many foreign women. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and among the Hittites. Whenever you allow your emotions to rule you, you will make decisions that you regret. I remember whenever I was a small child, we were probably leaving church that day that I got the call of God on my life in the gym, probably around that time. We came home, and as we pulled up into our driveway, there was an ant bed in the corner. And I said, my God, I would love to put my feet in that ant bed. I would love to do that. And my mom says, Daniel, you stay away from that ant bed. And I said, I gave her the nod. Yeah, you know, just a passive agreement. And so she goes inside, you know, all this stuff. And I just start circling the drain. I'm just looking at this ant bed, this freshly minted hill of ants, a condominium of small creatures that just crawl around very interestingly. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit right here on this curb, and I'm going to stick not one, both feet directly into the ant bed. And so I did that, and I just soaked in it for probably 3 seconds. All of a sudden, I start feeling the bites. I begin screaming, running, crying. And my mom opens the door. She grabs me. She puts me in the sink. She's running water. She's trying to beat all the ants off of me. And I'm like, you know, I'm crying, all this stuff. Why? Because I let my emotions rule me against better judgment, against what my mom, who loves me, had recommended. I just stuck my foot in that ant bed, and I suffered the consequences from it. Proverbs 25:28 says this, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who even knows how bad it is? What we have to realize is that emotions are not an indicator of God's approval. There are some things that come up in our life that we're like, man, this looks so good. This feels so good. This just, and it starts to make sense. You're like, no, it actually, I know that the Bible says this. I know that my mentor said that. I know that it could look this way. But you start to make sense in your mind that actually, this is the thing that I need to do. This is the rational thing to do. If you get deeper steeped into deception, you might even be like, actually, I have to do this. I feel like that what this guy, this is what God is telling me to do. And all along, your emotions are being deceived. Why? Because your heart is desperately wicked, both yours and mine. That is why it is so essential that every day we wake up and we surrender our hearts to God. God is the only one. Jesus is the only one who can keep our hearts pure and keep us on a track that will never disappoint us. Think about it. Anyone in here go to the gym? Yeah, me neither. Yeah, that was, okay, bad example. Well, if you were to go to the gym, right, if we were, just go here with me, it would be painful, right? Like, I never go to the gym, and I'm like, yeah, I'm so glad that I'm here. I'm always like, how did I get here? Like, I don't even know how I made it this far. And I start running, and my lungs hurt, and I'm like, this is miserable, and I'm doing all the weight. There's so much weight. Why is there so much weight on this bar? Get just the bar, a lighter bar. Give me the options. You know what I mean? But that doesn't feel good. It's painful, but it's good for you, right? Right. What about what about medicine? Our little dog. We have a little wiener dog. She just had surgery, and so she was wearing the cone of shame. She was shameful, very shameful. The cone was so shameful on her. And so, anyways, she had this medicine that we had to like put in her mouth, but apparently it tasted terrible. So I would like wrestle her down, and I'm like, dodging it so much. And so I stick like one finger in the side of her mouth, and I'm trying to inject this pain medication. Okay, you just had surgery. I'm trying to help you not, you know, feel hurt. I'm trying to help you in the healing process. She bites me because she forgot her first love. And so anyways, you know what my dog does not know? That bad medicine is good for you. Emotions are not an indicator of God's approval. There are a lot of things that are painful. Gosh, it hurts, but it's so good for you. And there are other things that are so alluring, but in the end, it leads to death. It leads to death. Solomon, what's happening in this passage is Solomon is joining himself with these women who are unequally yoked. And I don't know if we have any single people in here. Maybe we got, it's the 11:15, so maybe you're saying you slept in if you're single. Let me tell you, there's this thing where it's like you find someone, but you know that maybe they don't love the Lord quite like you love the Lord. They can't even swing the 11:15. They're like, well, maybe if there was a 2 o'clock service, but they don't know we tried that, and they didn't show up for that one either. Oh, y'all weren't here in 2015? Okay, that's fine. Well, we tried it, and they didn't show up for that one either. So we went back to 2 services. It's fine. Anyways, that person, you shouldn't be dating that person. You want to know why? You're not going to pull them up. It's not going to be like, oh, we started dating, and all of a sudden he started acting right. It's called acting for a reason. You know, they ain't right. They were just acting right. And so we call it missionary dating. God has called me to the mission field. You know, we're going out to clubs and stuff trying to find someone. That's not where you find someone. You find someone serving right here at North Point. I met my wife in church. Okay, there it is. That's all I'm going to say about it. Anyways, do we have any math people in the room? I need to change the subject real quick. Anyway, we got some like right brain people, analytical people. Yeah, you exist. Sometimes whenever we start talking about emotions, all you analytical people are like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? You're like, you know, maybe you're like Pastor Philip, and he's like, I feel nothing. You know what I mean? Like, you need to, he was telling me a story when someone was like, you know, I'm sure you've been feeling this. And I was like, well, that guy didn't know you. Because, see, that's where you're wrong, because Philip don't feel anything. He knows what you tell him, and if you don't tell him, he ain't assuming it. So, anyways, If that's like you, I came up, you know, I used to teach students and young adults, so I came up with this formula to help teach this so that people could easily understand it. And it's not, it should be a theory. This should be published because it's true. So here it is. It's a very simple formula. You can shorten it. E over W equals R, but what that really stands for is when you let your emotions rule over your will, then it equals regret. Yeah, that's just how it works. Like whenever your emotions are on top of your will, it's just regret. Conversely, you can flip the equation, and if you command, not allow, command your will to be over your emotions, then it equals peace. It equals joy. It equals the things that we actually like to live our life on. So I want to tell you, if you're trying to give your heart away, the first thing that you need to do is you need to let your emotions rule you. The second thing that you need to do is disobey God. Now, I know this one's kind of cut and dry, but let's dive back into the scriptures and see where maybe we could be guilty of this. 1 Kings chapter 11, going on to verse 2 and 3, it says, "The Lord had clearly..." Not ambiguously. "The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, 'You must not marry them because they will turn your hearts to their gods.' Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyways. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. And in fact, that is Greek for it turns out they did turn his heart away from the Lord." It turns out his heart was turned away from the Lord. So let me tie some things together real quick. So we're reading about Solomon's heart being turned away from God when he was the one who wrote the book of Proverbs, which was the very first passage that I read to open this message, where it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." It's almost as if God was giving him the very breadcrumbs in his youth that he would need to use to overcome the bigger battles later in his life. He was extremely wise. Knowledge will not do it. Knowledge is not enough to overcome the deceitful desires of your heart. To know what good is of no credit, turns out. It's what do you do? What do you do with what you know? And so anyways, you know, we look at his life. We just read a passage that said the Lord had clearly, once again, clearly instructed him in this. And then he goes ahead and does it anyways. I look at that passage and I'm like, who would do that? You know what I mean? Who would have not one but two visitations from the Lord and a clear instruction that if you do this, this will happen. And then my man goes off and does it. Who would do that? You would. You are the type of person who would do that. I am the type of person who would do that. Humans are the type of people who can know exactly what they should do and do the complete opposite. The heart is so desperately wicked. That's why we can't let our emotions rule us. We've got to be obedient to God. You know, I don't know what, we all have these different struggles, right? But I've got a really practical application. If you're like, oh, I want to be obedient, I want to do this. I have a really practical application that you can use to maybe help, you know, foster a greater level of obedience in your life. And it's the rule, no second glances. Now, you might be like, well, I don't struggle with lust. Okay, well, I'm not talking about that necessarily. I could be. You know what I mean? I could be talking about lust, but I don't have to be, because maybe you're in crippling debt and you know the unwise thing to do is to spend the money you don't have, but yet you flipping through these magazines trying to pick out new furniture anyways. You shouldn't be doing that because you don't have that money. You know, no second glances. How many of you guys have been, oh, I know this is, I'm about to step on someone's toes. You just casually start looking at new cars. No, that is one of the most slippery slopes I've seen, that you will fall and break yourself on that one. looking at new cars is the worst thing you could ever do. I've built some mighty fine cars on the internet. We want heat up seats in this one. How much is that? That's fine. What about that new, that upgraded stereo? That's a necessary expense. You, next thing we know, we're driving off the lot with a car we know we can't afford. Maybe it's your health. You know what I mean? Instagram gets me hard on this one. They're like, have you seen this man grill this steak? And I was like, but he in the woods. How is he grilling such a good looking steak in the woods? Next thing I know, I'm like, babe, you want steak for dinner? No, we need salad again. We've got to repeat good decisions. It's not what you do every once in a while. It's what you do consistently. In this world, you cannot avoid temptation. It will come to you. But you have to commit yourself to not taking second glances. You have to commit yourself to not taking those second glances. Solomon's failure was not a result of a change of heart. It was a result of an unguarded heart. He did not wake up and decide to lose his heart for God one day. Rather, he began taking second glances at the things that the Lord had specifically forbid. Very specifically. I like to say this, that what you consider, you will consume. Okay, well, stop thinking about it. If you don't plan on doing this, stop thinking about it. It's that easy. It's not complicated. If you don't plan on doing it, if you don't want to do it, if you don't see a future where this is a good idea, don't even think about it. Think about something else. Go take a walk. Call your mom. Call someone. You know what I mean? Do whatever it takes to not consider it. Second is where you find your eyes, you will find your feet. If you keep looking in areas, you're eventually going to go to that area. Some of y'all like this when you drive. I'll be on the interstate. I drove 500 miles yesterday to make it here on time. We'll be on the interstate. The person in front of us, guarantee you they were texting. Why? Right-handed, looking down, starts to go to the right side. They were texting. That's what happens. Where you find your eyes, you'll find your feet. The direction you look is the direction you're going to go, no matter how you dice it up. What are you looking at? Like, where are your eyes at? And what's a bigger, I'll take it a step further. Do you have some going off in your life right now? Because it's your opportunity to get back on course. No one just goes straight from like road ditch. You know what I mean? No one's like, I'm about to show this ditch who's boss. Ah! No one. They hit the bumps first, and then they don't respond fast enough. Oh, some of you guys need to respond a little faster. The Lord has prompted something. You need to respond real fast. All eyes are bowed, heads bowed. No, I'm joking. Y'all don't do it. James chapter 1, verse 14 through 15 says this. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. What the Lord is saying right here is that it's a progression. It's to your advantage, it's a progression. Aren't we glad the scripture doesn't say temptation leads to death? My God, put me in the grave, you know? I'm not going to make it, you know, because I'm human, because I exist in this world, because I don't live in a bubble. But the Lord gives us the progression so that when we identify we are somewhere on this progression, we can course correct. We can make the right decision. We can bring it back. We see this unfold in Solomon's life as temptation begins to grow into death of a covenant that was made with his family. You know, he didn't just wake up one day and start marrying foreign girls. The Lord was like, don't marry the foreign girls. They'll change your heart. And he's like, yeah, but he didn't say I couldn't talk to them. What's up, foreign girls? Lord didn't say we couldn't go out to lunch. You know what I mean? Lord didn't say we can send each other memes. I bet they had a good little dialogue in the DMs. It didn't happen overnight. It was a slow fade that ended in the death of the covenant that God had made with his father that would be passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation, also known as legacy. He ruined his legacy because he took second glances at a temptation that was completely normal to have. 1 Kings chapter 11, now I'm going to drop down to verse 9 through 11. It says this. It says, the Lord was very angry with Solomon, for his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. He had warned Solomon specifically about worshiping other gods, but Solomon did not listen to the Lord's command. So now the Lord said to him, since you have not kept my covenant and have disobeyed my decrees, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your servants. We need to listen to the voices of wisdom that surround us. We need to listen to the Lord. We need to listen to wisdom. We need to listen to our mentors and to wise counseling. Some of y'all just need to listen to your parents. We don't have to make it that complicated. You know what I mean? If you're getting some warnings about something, if you're getting some warnings about someone, then maybe you need to run. Run. Don't walk. Run. Do whatever it takes. Solomon allowed sin and disobedience in his life to be the end of a lineage of kings that were to come. The decisions you make now will affect more than just you. It is your legacy. And it also, side note, this is why I almost struggled not to preach this, because I thought I'm used to preaching to students, and students need to hear this stuff, but some of these people are going to be kind of older and more mature in the faith. And the Lord was like, it don't matter how old you are. You can lose your legacy on your last week here on earth. It does not matter. We cannot think that we're above losing our legacy. So point number three, this is the last point, and if the keys want to come up, they can. Take your time. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. In Solomon's old age. This is for all you gray-haired people out here. Yeah, watch out. Okay, it's for everyone. I'm sorry. It's for everyone. In Solomon's old age. By the way, I got some fantastic gray on the side of my head. They turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God. Can everyone say completely? Completely. Can everyone say completely? Completely? One more time for the people in the back. Completely. Instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God as his father David had been, Solomon worshiped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. And in this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to follow the Lord completely. Everyone say it.
Completely.
He refused to follow the Lord completely, as his father David had done. Notice it doesn't say he refused to follow the Lord, as his father David had done. It just says he refused to follow the Lord completely, as his father had done. So whenever I read this scripture, y'all really brought it to my attention that that word complete was important. So I decided to do some quick research. And the Hebrew word for completely right here is shalem. And so many of you guys have probably heard the word shalom, which like shalom, that's peace. Shalem is like the cousin of that word in the Hebrew. And shalem is Hebrew for loyal or whole or undivided. So it's a, you know, it's a picture of completeness. Solomon didn't forsake God. He just divided his affection. You know what I mean? He was just like, yo, I still love God. He loved God. But he also loved the foreign women. Let me ask you this. How many of you guys would want to be in a marriage with someone whose heart was like 98% for you? We're talking about 98% faithful. We're talking about 98% all about you. Oh, no one? Oh, no one wants to be married to someone who their spouse has a divided affection? 2% ain't much. You know what I mean? 98%, that's a real high score. That'll probably get you into most Ivy League schools. You know, 98% will have you flying jets in the military. 98%, congratulations, you qualify to be the president too. 98%, that's a good score. God wasn't happy with 98%. I don't think a lot of you guys would be happy in relationships where it was 98% commitment level. So it turns out that in relationships, divided affection is not okay, right? Can we agree on that? Divided affection is not okay. We have to follow the Lord completely. How many of us look at ourselves and like to say, God, I'm following you so well. Good. I'm following the Lord. 98%, I'm following the Lord. Turns out he doesn't like that. So a few years ago, I went to Dairy Queen. Y'all didn't see this going that direction. I went to Dairy Queen. Also, I'd appreciate a little less judgment. Man, y'all made this hard on me. I didn't look at y'all like that when I got on stage. Like, it's fine. This is a safe place. So I went to Dairy Queen, and I got a Blizzard. It was a 6-ounce, okay? It was the mini. They came out with mini Blizzards. And I don't know why I did this, but I took one bite of that Blizzard, and I said, "Ooh, that tastes good." I mean, every once in a while, it's kind of odd, actually. I was telling this story in the first service, and I thought, why did I get so obsessed over something so insignificant? But I was like, yo, this Blizzard is good. I said, I wonder how many calories are in a 6-ounce Blizzard. I'm going to go find this out right now. So I get on the website, and I'm going to the nutritional facts and all this stuff, and I find this Blizzard. They about 100 calories per ounce. How y'all gonna fit 600 calories in that little bitty cup? That's a 60-second cup. I finished that, brother, in 60 seconds. That's a lot. So then I start digging deeper. I said, what in the world can you put into an ounce to make it 100 calories? That just sound irrationally high for me. So I go to the ingredients. I keep scroll deeper. I'm doom scrolling. That's what we call it. So I'm going deeper. And you know what? I found out the main ingredient in this Blizzard was milk fat and non-fat milk. Now, y'all know, y'all read the nutrition before, make sure it didn't have the seed oils and whatnot. But how they do the ingredients is they separate all the ingredients by commas. You know what I mean? They're like water, comma, citrus extract, B7, comma. You know what I mean? They'll keep listing all the things with commas. There wasn't no commas. It was an and. It said milk fat and non-fat milk. Okay? Let me ask you a question. It's quiz time. What kind of milk is in that Blizzard? Non-fat milk. I said, you know, Destiny D's is a lawyer. She could get up before a judge and with clear conscience, judge, look at the nutritional facts right here. Non-fat milk. This is a non-fat milk Blizzard that packs 600 calories. Here's the issue. Some of us have not followed the Lord completely. But because we're here on a Sunday, we feel like it's good enough. we can build a strong case for why it's strong enough. Well, I come to the 11:15 service. The Lord's like, and you're like, and glad you asked. And I got streaks on the YouVersion app. All right. And thank you. I tithe occasionally. The Lord's like, He's like, what about all that other stuff? Well, you know, I just thought, I'm only human. You know, I just thought, since I do all these other things, what if the Lord were writing the story of our legacy? And it said, so-and-so didn't follow the Lord completely. Oh, they followed the Lord. And follow him completely. And because of that, they forfeit their destiny. And they forfeit their legacy. And they lived the lesser life. And it had an eternal impact on generations of children to come after them. If you want to give your heart away, number one, let your emotions rule you. Number two, disobey God. And number three, justify your actions. And we look at Solomon. Maybe some of you guys, maybe the little voices in your head are trying to make you not feel a certain way if the Holy Spirit's convicting you. And they said, but what about David? You know, David was his dad. David made some comparable decisions. I'll tell you that much. David slept with a woman who was married, got her pregnant, killed her husband, married the girl, and then the Bible goes on to say David was a man after God's own heart. I liken myself to a David kind of guy. You know, no, I don't. I'm just like, some of us are like, yeah. I relate to that. No. Their response was different. The way they responded to it. Because you see in Psalm 51, David is the most broken individual begging for mercy with a contrite heart and a broken spirit saying, God, I cannot believe I made this decision. He said, wash me clean and I'll be whiter than snow. He said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I can't do it without you. There was an air of humility and remorse that led him to repentance that kept the legacy intact. You see, we don't expect anyone in here to be perfect. No one in here is perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. But through Jesus, and only through Jesus, can we live a legacy? Can we make it the distance? Can we keep going day in and day out when things get hard? Not for ourselves, but for the ones who come after us and for the kingdom of God that we're building together. And so I want us to bow our heads right now, for real. And I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the power of God's word. God, we thank you that it's so sharp. Your word is so sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides between soul and spirit. Father God, I just pray right now that your word and your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts, would shine just this bright, glorious light into our lives and reveal to us the area where we have not decided to fully trust you and to fully surrender to you. And God, I pray that this morning that we would be like David and we would repent and we would give you the 2% we've been holding back. And we would be honest with ourselves and say we have not been completely devoted to the life you have called us to. Father God, I pray that you would meet us in the place of repentance. and you would welcome us back into your arms, that you would cleanse our hearts and that they would be whiter than snow, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and breathe destiny on our lives. And God, I pray that we would be forever different, because every day we woke up and decided to surrender our entire heart to you. Father God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.